Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. Now, you may not have heard a new story from me for a while. Of course, I apologize for that. But sometimes people miss. And as a matter of fact, in today's portion of the Torah, we have the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni. What is the mitzvah of Pesach Sheni? Don't worry, we'll get to a story soon. But this is just something from today's Chumash. And actually, yeah, it's a story also. There was a few people who were tamei, they were impure, ritually impure, because they had been in touch with a dead body. There's different opinions about exactly which dead body that was. Some say it was the people that brought Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, out from the Kodesh Kodashim after they passed away, having gone in there without permission. Some say it was the people who carried the body of Yosef from Mitzrayim. But in any case, they were impure, according to the Torah. They were tamei. And therefore, when it came time for the Karban Pesach, which was brought in the desert after the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, they left on Pesach, and therefore their Karban Pesach of that year was in Mitzrayim, just before they went out. The following year, they were in the desert, and they brought a Pesach offering too. But these particular people, because they were impure, and it takes a certain amount of days, approximately a week, to become pure after touching a dead body, or being involved with the dead body in ways that make the person impure, therefore, they were going to miss bringing their Karban Pesach. They would not be tahor, they would not be pure on the day that the Karban Pesach had to be brought. And therefore, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, Lama Negara, why should we miss out? Why should we miss out on the Karban Pesach? And they had a suggestion about how it could be done for them, even if they were not actually participating. But Moshe was not so sure. Therefore, he did what we always do. If we're not so sure of something in the Torah, we ask our teacher. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu's teacher? It was Hashem. And therefore, he asked Hashem. Rashi comments, by the way, how special it is when a person can ask Hashem a question and he knows for sure he'll get an answer, just as if he was asking his own teacher. Moshe, of course, was very special in that way. We always ask Hashem, we always dive into Hashem, but we're not sure if we ask Hashem a question if we're going to receive the answer. Whereas Moshe, because he was so close to Hashem, he knew that he was going to get an answer. Or he was sure. I don't know if he knew, but he was sure. Maybe he knew by Nevuah also. Okay, in any case, what did Hashem tell him? Hashem said, Moshe, now going to give another mitzvah. This is one of the 613 mitzvahs, which is that if a person is far away, or they are tamei, when it comes time for the Karban Pesach, they can have a second chance a month later. On the 14th of Iyar, they can bring a Karban Pesach and eat it with matzah and maror, and it can make up for having missed the first Pesach. Okay, so why do I mention this whole story? Because I missed out on many weeks of telling stories. So perhaps I should say, okay, I missed so many weeks of telling stories. Forget it, I give up on telling stories. But today's Chumash portion teaches us, no, you have a second chance. And this goes in all parts of Yiddishkeit, in all parts of the Torah and mitzvahs. It's kein mal nishver falo, never too late. A person can always make up for the mistakes they make or some things that they missed out on. We should never feel that it's hopeless. Actually, I heard a story about a person who was my Rav, my Mashpia, my mentor for many, many years. Fortunately, he passed away. His name was Rabbi Tzvi Schusterman. I lived in Chicago, and when I moved to South Bend, Indiana, which was only a few hours away from Chicago, I felt, okay, I'm close to this person now, far away from New Jersey, where I was living before. Now I'm much closer to Chicago. This person will be my mishpia, and I'll talk to him, I'll call him. I actually did meet him as well in person a few times. So they say a story about Rabbi Schusterman, and that is that he asked the following question. He said, if a person is up to the last bracha Shmon Esrei, and they suddenly realize they didn't have kavanah for any of the brachas, Not the first, not the second, not the third. They had no kavana for any of the brachas. Sometimes when a person gets very used to the davening, they know everything by heart, they can sort of do it on automatic pilot and suddenly realize they haven't been paying attention at all. So Rabbi Schutzman asked the question, what if a person's up to the last bracha in Shemoneh Esrei and they suddenly realize they didn't have any kavana for any of the brachas? Should they bother having kavana for the last bracha? Now, the story does not tell what he answered, but I think we're supposed to understand that, of course, the answer is yes. Of course. Okay. So you missed out on the first 18 brachas kavana. Okay. But what about the 19th? There's one left. Try to have kavana on that. As far as the halacha, you should repeat Shemoneh Esrei or not. Okay, that you can take up with your rabbi. But certainly, as far as our Yiddish guy goes, you have one bracha left, of course, try to have kavana. Okay, so anyways, that's why I'm telling the story today. I already told two stories, but I think that's enough. We will continue, God willing, tomorrow. You could remind me, I have a special story about a Yid, Alav Shalom, whose name was, I can't remember, but I'll remember for tomorrow, Bli Neder. Very special story, very beautiful story. But I don't want to take so much of your time. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More. And please remember the big main thing. We're still, unfortunately, in a war. Very, very difficult war. Very important war. We're fighting for our lives as Jewish people. And to the brave tzaddikim, the brave holy people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, not running away. And especially the brave people who are serving in the IDF or the border police or any of Shin Bet or any of these organizations who are especially brave and especially holy. May Hashem bless us with a complete and speedy victory to eliminate all of our enemies, and may this bring in the time of the Gula. But what if you're living in Hoopitzville, USA? You might say, what can I do for the war? I don't know how to carry a gun. I'm not in the IDF. I can't fly a plane. I don't even know how to fly a drone. What am I supposed to do? So there's always a lot that we can do. We can give tzedakah for things related to the safety of Yidden and Eretz Yisrael. But even more basically, our learning and our davening and our mitzvahs, we can dedicate that it should be a schus for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, for their safety and for the victory of our enemies. And may all these last 15 minutes of stories be a zechus, especially that many people are listening, I think, I hope. And therefore, it's Torah Barabim, it's learning Torah in a large group. May this be a zechus, a tremendous merit to help every single Yid in Eretz Yisrael to be safe and every place in the world, and that we should have a quick and complete victory over our enemies and to usher in the Geula. May it happen immediately. Miyad, immediately. As we know that Miyad immediately also stands for Moshe, Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, and David, three of the giants of Jewish history who are especially dedicated to the coming of Mashiach. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More.